and praise you for all the gifts that you so graciously pour out upon us, and especially for the gift of your Holy Spirit, which comes to us and makes us your own, who delivers to us all that you won through your death, your resurrection for our sakes. And Lord, we ask that that Spirit would continually be with us each and every day in the midst of a dangerous world, a world that wishes to steal away our faith. We beg you, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill us, continue to feed us with your word and holy sacraments, that you would strengthen us in the faith once for all delivered to all the saints. In your holy, your precious name we pray. Amen. Hymn 596. The Order of Vespers, page 229. We stand.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Intruit as printed on your bulletin insert. Number 577, 577.
who prophesy to you,
filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear His word? Or who has paid attention to His word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until He has executed and accomplished the intents of His heart. In the later days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
A reading from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. My heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this evening is the epistle lesson read a few moments ago from the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Rome, dear friends in Christ. We are debtors. Now, I assume you know what a debtor is, but let's just make it clear. You owe someone something. That's what St. Paul teaches. You can't avoid it. You stand in someone's debt. The question is, and it's a pretty vital question, who? So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What do we owe our sinful flesh? What good has it ever done to us? It held us in bondage, separated us from our God and one another, and promised us great things while delivering only death. We don't owe the flesh anything. We are not in its debt any longer. It used to have a claim upon us because we were chained to it, living in its bondage, but no more. We have been saved. Jesus, the stronger man, came and robbed the strong man's house. Whatever we owed our sinful flesh, he paid, dying our death in our place. He killed our sinful flesh when he dunked us under the baptismal waters. And so now, if we are debtors to anyone, we are debtors to Jesus. Not that we owe him anything to pay for our salvation. That price has already been paid. It is finished, Jesus said. But instead, having been released, we live under him as his debtors in grateful love. But the flesh keeps on knocking. It keeps calling for our allegiance. It keeps asking for the bills to be paid. The flesh wants us to believe that we are still in bondage. it wants to keep us in slavery. In fact, St. Paul, in our text for tonight, calls our sinful flesh the spirit of slavery. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Like an unwelcome house guest that you just can't seem to get to leave, the spirit of slavery hangs around even after you have been released from its bondage. And that spirit of slavery calls for our obedience. It wants us to think that we are still in its chains, even though we have been set free. Even though the chains have been removed by the work of Christ, the spirit of slavery wants us to go back into our cells, nice-like, and put our chains back on. And the remarkable thing is, dear friends, we actually do it. Day after day, we who have been set free by the work of Christ from sin, put ourselves back into slavery. We willingly, openly put ourselves back into our cold, hard cells, and we wrap the chains tightly around our ankles. For you see, we believe the lie, the ridiculous lie, that slavery to sin is actually freedom. You see, that's the message that's trumpeted forth in our world, in every corner of our world. Slavery is freedom. The world claims that living in sin is actually freedom. That doing what your sinful flesh wants is liberating. Now, this is most often spoken of with regard to sexual sins. Free love, sexual liberation, I can do what I want with my body. You've heard them all. But the same lie is told about every sin. The spirit of slavery claims that it's the Christians, those mean and nasty Christians, who want to repress you. The spirit of slavery claims that it's actually the Bible that wants to put you in chains. And this even finds its sly way into the Christian church, where the freedom of the gospel, something Lutherans love to talk about, is used to excuse or condone or cover for living in the bondage of sin. See, when I put it that way, it doesn't make any sense, does it? But people believe it. And you, who have been set free, fall for it all the time. Repent. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Sin enslaves, as any addict can tell you. It grabs a hold of you and controls your life. Indulging in sin is putting the chains around your ankles, your own ankles, and making sure that they're nice and tight. The end of all these things is death. That is all that the flesh can give you. And St. Paul is quite clear that the freedom of the gospel is not the freedom to do whatever you want, the freedom to live however you want. The freedom of the gospel is exactly that. freedom from sin and its slavery. For we have been given another spirit, not the spirit of slavery to return to our chains, but the spirit of adoption. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Our status has changed dramatically. We were born into slavery, chained by sin, by virtue of our birth as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We had no choice. That was our identity. Our natural birth was one of slavery, the chains placed upon us even in the womb. But then we were adopted. The spirit of adoption came to us in our chains and set the prisoners free. For the price of our salvation, the price of our release had been paid for on a cross 2,000 years previous. Jesus came to be our brother. He came and He saw us in our chains. And even though He had no sin, even though the chains didn't belong on Him, He submitted Himself to slavery and paid its ultimate price, His own death. And then He broke the bars of our prison, the bars of death, with His resurrection, and He set us free. But we are not freed to go running around on our own. You see, we are given a new status. No longer slave, but adopted child. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We are sons of God, given a new birth, a watery birth in place of our natural birth, made children by adoption, rather than slaves by nature, destined for life in place of death. And so why return to the slavery of your birth? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The life of the free is a daily putting to death of the spirit of slavery. That spirit entices us with its chains. Its assertion that you can be free only by living in sin's bondage. But the Spirit helps us to resist its call by reminding us of our identity. Baptized children of God. Martin Luther teaches us to confess in the Small Catechism. I won't ask Vicar to say it. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. The spirit of slavery is put to death only by repentance. When we see our sin and turn away from it, drowning that old Adam in a continual return to the font. The Christian life is one of daily, continual repentance. As we see our sins better and better and drown that old Adam again and again and again. For this isn't easy. The spirit of slavery, that old Adam, he's a tenacious swimmer. And his enticing words lead us astray time and again. We are tempted to despair of our identity as God's children, especially when the law confronts us and calls us out for not living as Christians should live. But we are not left alone. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There are three spirits in our text for today. The spirit of slavery that wants to put us in chains. The spirit of adoption that sets us free. And our spirit, which needs reassurance as the struggle goes on between slavery and freedom, peace and fear, old man and new. The Holy Spirit doesn't just make us God's children through our baptism into Christ and then leave us alone. He is daily active and working within us, killing that spirit of slavery and reassuring us of our status before God as we struggle and we suffer in this world where we battle against sin, death, and the power of the devil. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We will suffer. We will suffer death to our flesh, the daily drowning that we are called to. We will suffer the opposition of the world that doesn't understand why we don't walk back into its bondage. And we will suffer the ravages of sin in a world that is still fallen. But the Spirit reassures us, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we have an inheritance with Jesus. You are God's beloved child. You belong to Him. That is your status right now. But you are also an heir, for you have an inheritance that is still to come, waiting for you on the last day. For as Jesus suffered and then entered into His glory, so too your suffering will only be temporary. And as the very next verse in Romans chapter 8 declares, it is not worth comparing to the glory that is to come. You are children of God, adopted through the work of the Spirit, and an eternity of freedom awaits you. Your inheritance won by your brother, your Lord, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. We stand for the Magnificat. It's found on page 231. 231.
time we observe the rite of fellowship, there's a pad at the end of each pew. If you'd please sign in and pass it along. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings out of the bounty that the Lord has blessed us with. Concludes with the prayers of the church, beginning with the Kyrie, page 233. We stand. Spirit to think and to do always such things that are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that, with good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to President Trump and the Congress of the United States, Governor Ricketts and the legislature of this state, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance
and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Kay, recovering at Tabitha, for Desi, who is preparing for surgery tomorrow, and for Helen, whose husband Don was taken to his eternal home recently. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth or our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you, for by His blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under Him in His kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May be seated. Hymn 659, 659. welcome this evening as we gather and we hear of the Jesus who died for us to release us from slavery, and the Spirit who comes and adopts us into God's family and reassures us every day afterward. A couple of announcements. First of all, Vicar Bible class right after worship in the fellowship hall. You are continuing your study of Psalm 119, which I'm told is the shortest chapter in the Bible, correct? No. See, I got him to talk. No, the longest chapter in the Bible. So we're working our way through that wonderful, wonderful piece of Scripture, Psalm 119. On tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, Life Light, we are studying the book of Hebrews. That will be in room 109. Tomorrow evening at Jim and Violet Kirk's will be Young Adults Gathering at 7 o'clock. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yes. I do want to let you know Pastor Poppy made an appearance in the office this afternoon, that him and Barb made it back safely. And if you want to see the bearded one with a stole on, I do have some pictures on my cell phone. But it's a very small cell phone. But it still does justice to the beard. So if you want to see that, come by my office. But had a very successful, very wonderful trip, and glad to have him back in Lincoln. And we'll be glad to have him in the pulpit on Sunday. Any other announcements? Not then the Lord's richest blessings as we continue to revel in His grace. God's blessings.